Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. He lives in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the Spirit's love. It's not my love. It's that love of God, Romans 5:5, that's been shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. We're delighted to have you with us for the broadcast. Today, Pastor Bill's study from Ephesians continues, and his message is titled, What Grieves Him Most? Let's join the study.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles. We're going to enter into part two, remember, of Grieve Not the Spirit, about grieving the Spirit. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 30. And so this is, you know, this is in a sense a Father's Day message. In other words, I'm just going to make it one out of this. Is that all right? And so I'm not here to beat the fathers this morning or anything like that. But I'll tell you, this, as we turn, all of us, those that are listening live, all of us, I hope your Bibles are open. Please open your Bibles. And if you have your kiddos, tell your children to open the Bibles as well. Listen, this epistle is the greatest piece of written history in the history of the world. Did you know that? It's unbelievable. I love the book of Ephesians. So this morning, part two, let me ask everyone a question this morning. Fathers, everybody, what do you think grieves the Holy Spirit most? That's a very important question. Matter of fact, that question is so important. If you know the answer to that and you are practicing the answer to that question, your life will be changed forever and ever, and you will go from glory to glory to glory by the Holy Spirit who is working in you to produce Christ's likeness. Amen? So with all that being said, let's look at chapter 4, and let's begin. Let me just go ahead and read. Let's begin in verse 25 about not grieving the Spirit. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Remember that word, be angry. There is a positive command. This is a righteous anger, okay? And don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. And let no corrupt or rotten words, rotten speech, let no corrupt communication or word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification of the building up, if you will, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And now, verse 30 this morning. And do not, and we pray that we don't, but I know that we do at times. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were, past tense, you were sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, the Holy Spirit who is here with us, who is alongside us right now, who will never leave us and never forsake us, you know, can be grieved. What a sad thing. Listen, the word grieve means to make sorrowful. It means to vex. It means to make sad. It means to offend. Think about that for a minute. We should be literally amazed at verse 30. For the Holy Spirit allows us, he doesn't want us to, but allows us to grieve him. Think about that for a minute. We don't want to grieve the Spirit. We don't want to hurt the Holy Spirit. But here, obviously, if he is grieved at times, that means he himself allows himself to be grieved. Now listen carefully. This tells the born-again believer at least three things, okay? The first thing it tells us is this, that the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit is a relationship of love. Amen? Romans 15:30, it talks about the love of the Spirit. Paul writes about that, that the Spirit has for us. See, the Holy Spirit loves us. It's a love relationship. And the word grieve there, well, it's a love word. You cannot grieve someone that you do not love. Amen? It's an impossibility. You just don't do that. And listen, the reason that we can grieve the Spirit of God is because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The word temple there really is not the heteron, which speaks of the temple in Jerusalem, like the outside of the temple or the temple proper. The word is naos. We are the naos of God, meaning we are the literal holy of holies of the living God. Think about that for a minute. So we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So to grieve the Holy Spirit, now listen, is to grieve perfect love. You see, 1 John 4:8, God is what? God is love. The unconditional love of God. The love that never goes up and never goes down. God is love. And that's what we grieve sometimes when we grieve the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit of God, number two, is a person. You know that, I know that, but few people know that actually in the church. And you know, they treat the Holy Spirit as like he doesn't exist, or they don't even know anything about the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all co-equal, co-eternal. Amen? You know, somebody says, well, Bill, the Trinity's not in the Bible. Well, neither is America. So whatever that meant. You know, listen, the Trinity, you know, look at, just take an egg for a moment. If you have an egg, like I had eggs, I cooked my eggs this morning for breakfast. Organic eggs, of course, come from the farm. See, I can tease the first service because you don't care. The second service, they're the serious bunch, you know. They don't love me like you do, okay? No, listen. If you crack an egg, you have the shell, you have the white, you have the yolk. Is that correct? Okay, but if I break open the egg shell, just have is it still an egg? If I just have the yolk, is it still an egg? Huh? It's an egg. It's all one. Amen? But it's three different parts. In other words, whenever Jesus at his baptism, remember the Holy Spirit came down upon him? Jesus, there he was in the water. And then the Father, behold, this is my Son. Hear ye him. This is my Son whom I am well pleased. So you have God the Father, God the Son, and then you have God the Holy Spirit. So that is the Trinity. The Bible says in 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word. Jesus said in John 10:30, the Father and I are one. So you have the Father, you have the Word, and it says, and the Holy Spirit, and it says, these three are one, meaning the Godhead. Now listen carefully. Do you think about the Holy Spirit a lot? I mean, loved one, listen to me. Do you really think about him? You see, we know so much about the love of God. We know so much about the grace of God. But we don't really, the church, the majority, they don't know a lot about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Remember what it says in 2 Corinthians when Paul closed out. He said this in 13:14 of 2 Corinthians. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now, we know about that. The grace, the unmerited, undeserved favor of the living God. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God. We know the love of God. God is love. For God so loved the world, he gave. Amen. And then he says this. He says, Jesus. He says, God the Father. And then he says, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The word communion of the Holy Spirit, the word communion, remember, is koinonia, fellowship, intimacy. Knowing me, knowing him. Does that make sense? Boy, that deep intimacy. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. Listen, people say, well, he's enthusiasm. Have you ever been to one of these meetings? No, that's not it. Or he's an essence, or he's a force, or he's a language. No. He is a person. Only a person, as you've heard me say over the last nearly 29 years or whatever. Listen, the Holy Spirit, you can only grieve a person. You can't grieve a force. You can't, you know, like electricity. Go over and put your finger there. It'll grieve you. Yeah, thank you, brother. I needed that. Loved one, listen. You know, a force cannot be grieved. Remember whenever Peter was questioning and talking with Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, and they sold that property so much, but they lied, remember? And Peter says, why have, you know, Satan filled your heart that you would lie unto God, who is the Holy Spirit, or tempt the Holy Spirit? See, the Holy Spirit is God. He is a person. Again, Only a person can be grieved, not a force, not an essence. So that tells us something else. The third thing is this: the one who lives in you, the one, the paraclete, the one who is alongside of us right now, the one who sees you, knows everything, every thought you're thinking right now and ever will think, who loves you. The third thing is that the Holy Spirit has emotions. He has feelings. God has feelings. Jesus has feelings. Amen? You see, Jesus, it's easy to relate to the Lord because he was a 100% man, 100% God. He was human. Does that make sense? He had a body. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But we see him. Jesus made the Father visible. Amen? Okay. But so when we start thinking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, it's almost like it's something surreal or not tangible, not touchable, because we don't see him. But the fact of the matter is, he sees us and he feels. He knows what we're doing. And he knows what we're doing right. He knows what we're doing wrong. See, the Holy Spirit has emotions. And emotions mean that he has feelings. For example, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. We can insult the Holy Spirit. And those in there when Jesus came, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Think about that. So just take those three: to grieve, quench, and of course, to insult. Let me give you the examples here. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, which is a command. Do not quench the Spirit. Quench means to extinguish. In other words, or resist his influence as he's trying to lead you. Now, or how about Hebrews 10:29, where the writer of Hebrews says, how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled, that means to treat as garbage in the Greek, literally, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, meaning treating Jesus Christ as if he has no value at all, and to count the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing. In other words, to treat the only blood that can cleanse sin, to treat the only blood that is accepted in heaven for the removal of sin, and treat it as something unholy, unclean, uncommon. It says, when that happens, it says, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Now, did you notice a change in the name of the Holy Spirit there? I'm going to tell you more about that later on. So, what grieves the Spirit most? Did you know that a lost person cannot grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Now, they can resist the Holy Spirit of God. Why is that? Because the Spirit's not in his life. It's not in his heart. You see, Romans 8:9, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you're not of Christ. Amen? You're not born from above. Now, only the sealed can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Look at it again. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by which you were, that's past tense again, sealed for the day of redemption. That is the work of sanctification. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, which produces, takes us to the same image as the Lord is, okay? So, but we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until that very day, meaning the day that we go home to heaven. If you have your Bibles open, just hold your place and look quickly back to Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verse 13 with me. It says, in him, meaning Jesus, you also trusted, Ephesians 1:13, you also trusted after you, how did you trust? You heard the word of truth. Someone preached the gospel to you, the gospel of your salvation, whom also having believed, past tense, the moment that you believed, the moment you confessed Jesus Christ with your mouth and believed in your heart, look what happened. You were, that's past tense again, you were sealed, but now the Holy Spirit has another name given, the Holy Spirit of what? The Holy Spirit of promise. Who, meaning the Holy Spirit, is the guarantee of our inheritance, how long? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, or we could say God's purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We are secure all the way to heaven, loved one, if you're truly born from above. So in Scripture, the seal of the Spirit, now, it signifies at least three things. Now, we could go on to Revelation and talk about the seal there, but we don't have time this morning to do that. So there are three things. First of all, the seal signifies this, a finished transaction. The same words that Jesus spoke in John 19:30. When Jesus said, "It is finished," was it finished? Everything that was needed to accomplish our salvation eternally has been done. Nothing else needs to be added to it. So when you were sealed with the Spirit of God, loved one, it was a finished transaction. The second thing that it denotes is security. Ephesians 4:30, that's where we are in this morning. In other words, Ephesians 4:30, where the Holy Spirit of God has sealed the believer permanently, that mark of ownership, if you will, permanently until the very day of Christ Jesus. So the finished transaction, security, one more. It seal speaks of ownership. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, the foundation of God stand the sure, having this seal, then the Lord knows who are his. And then the last thing is that the Holy Spirit of promise is the guarantee or the down payment. The Holy Spirit, now he's the guarantee that we're going to make it. And we're going to make it home, if you will. So with all that being said, let us not grieve the precious Holy Spirit, our divine helper, our standby, our comforter, our strengthener. Man, listen, we don't want to do that. We have living in us right now the one who has never lied. We have living in us right now one who is perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace. Are you with me? He lives in us. He's alongside of us. Man, I start thinking about that. I mean, everything that comes out of the mouth of God is eternally true and perfect. It endures forever. He is living in us right now. So with all that being said, look what Paul tells us to do. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, that is the characteristics of the old man, that old corrupt nature that grows corrupt, okay? We want to put this guy far away as we can get it. So it says, let all bitterness be put away from you. Listen to me. Bitterness is a bad trip. It's a bad thing, loved one. It's a horrible place to be. It means a persistent sourness of life, if you will. It's just a sour, bitter life, and it's a sad condition. Whenever a person is caught up in bitterness, loved one, they never see anything good. They never see anything good in anything. They're always critical of everything they see, every person they meet. They're hard to be around because that's just the way they are. It's that bitterness that resides in them. And they brood over a suffered wrong, okay? And it could be real. It could be imaginary. But they're brooding over it. Now, let me ask you a question. If anyone had the right to be, let's say, angry a little bit or bitter in their heart, do you think it might be the author of this epistle, Paul? He's in prison. He's writing it. Everyone has forsaken him. Amen? Man, he's penning this in prison. He says, oh, no, put this stuff away from you. I don't have that. Not at all. Get rid of this stuff. Why? Because, see, bitterness is a poison. Now, let me give you the example. Acts 8:18. And when Simon, that's Simon the sorcerer, when he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, here's what he did. He offered them money. So Simon, of course, the sorcerer, he saw the Holy Spirit as a source of monetary gain. He says, also saying this to Peter and them, oh, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So to Simon, he saw the Holy Spirit, as people do today even, as a power, but not a person. And he says, oh, but Peter said to him, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness and pray of God. Perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Now, listen carefully. So Peter says, Simon, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness. What a word. You're poisoned, he said, by bitterness. And you are bound, or you're enslaved by iniquity. In other words, sin rules your heart. Resentment is a poison. It will slowly kill you. Do you understand? It will leave you suffering. Nelson Mandela, who spent years and years and years in prison. Back in the, when I was in Africa, when I left South Africa, it was right after that, after the apartheid, the Angolan War. It was then when Mandela, just a few years later, he was released from prison. Here's what he said about resentment. He said, resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies. What a word, amen? Bitterness is not only poison, loved one. Bitterness is trouble. Let me give you the scripture from the, it says in Hebrews 12:15, looking carefully, lest any one of you fall short of the grace of God. You walk away from the unmerited favor of God. Here it comes. And any root, meaning there's different roots of bitterness, any root of bitterness, it springs up. Here's what it does. It causes trouble. And by this, many, not just the individual, many become defiled. Listen. A root of bitterness, as it starts growing, as it starts springing up in a person's life, it causes trouble. It causes trouble in your workplace. It causes trouble in your family. It causes trouble with your friends. It causes trouble in the church by many, which many are defiled. Amen? It spills over into the church. Now here, listen carefully. I've dealt with this, not personally with me, but in other people. Let me tell you one of the keys about a root of bitterness is this. Those with a root of bitterness, which grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by the way, it says no matter how hard you try to love them, no matter how you try to help them, it's never good enough. Never. And you, when you deal with people like that, it'll break your heart. And that root of bitterness, it defiles many. Meaning if it spills over into the church, it can just contaminate the entire body of Christ. Stay away from that. Amen. Paul says, not only let all bitterness, but let all wrath. That wrath now, that's talking about a violent outbreak of boiling anger. It boils up and then it's over. It happened quickly and it ends quickly. You know what I mean? But the problem with that is the damage that it leaves behind because words were spoken, maybe physical abuse or verbal abuse. Are you listening to me? That's a bad, bad thing, loved one. Bitterness, anger, wrath, all those things, they grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Is that the ones that grieve the Holy Spirit most? Let's continue. Look at the next one. Clamor. That's that loud quarreling or like a shouting match. And that seems like what's been happening in our nation lately, you know it? Just a shouting match, and it's an assertion. They're shouting because it makes the assertion of supposed rights. In other words, people have told me, and I mean no disrespect, I love everybody. I get bad emails, good emails, just like you do, you know, and it's like, well, like somebody, what do you mean I have to wear a mask? Well, that right there is clamor. Do you understand? What do you mean? I didn't make that rule. I'm just trying to make it through the night like everybody else. Amen? Yes. I'm trying to follow the CDC guidelines and Governor Abbott and all the rest of them. They change daily too. Oh, listen. No. Or how about malice? Oh, that's a bad one. Man, that is horrible, wicked, evil behavior who loves to damage other people. Matter of fact, it's determined damage. So Paul says, get rid of that. And then evil speaking, I think we talked about that last week, about part one of the grieving the Holy Spirit. We are more likely to grieve the Holy Spirit with what comes out of our mouth than any other thing. Amen? Yes. And so he says, put away that evil speaking. That's where people spread lies and slander and ruin a person's reputation, but it's a total lie. The Bible says, remember Ephesians 4:16, that we're to speak the truth in love. In verse 29, remember what it says in here that we just learned, let no corrupt communication or words come out of your mouth, no rotten language at all, but only speak those words that build people up, edify them.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but please join us tomorrow when Pastor Bill will conclude what grieves him most. Thanks everyone for listening today. I'm Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, have a blessed day and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.